This is Neil Gentry reminding you that you are listening to Preaching Sunday here on bpnradio.com, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Now, 18 hours of continuous preaching continues with Roy Beard. Another timely message from Roy Beard. Now here's Roy.
Welcome to Covenant Life Ministries. In this time together, it's our purpose to help you understand God's covenants, help you understand your position and place and privilege and authority in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our desire is to help you become a more powerful witness for His kingdom and enhanced in your ability to pray and more knowledgeable in the things of Almighty God. So I'm Roy Beard, the founder and president of Covenant Life Ministries. Thank you for joining us. Well, this is Roy Beard with Covenant Life Ministries. Last week, in our session together, we began talking about blood covenant. And incorporated in that, we talked about that man was made in the image of God. He's the vice-regent of all creation. He's the Lord of the earth, the steward of all of its resources. And his mission and his commandment and his assignment was to subdue it and work with it, work with the Creator in developing it. He is the image of God. He's to bring the glory of God into the midst of the creation. And we talked about communication as being one of the key elements that man was able to walk with and talk with God in the cool of the day. Man was able to continue to communicate with God. God is a speaking God. And in talking about covenant, we have to realize that one of the ways for the innocent Adam and Eve, sinless, in the garden, is that they had to reach the point that they could make a choice to be who God said they were. And so in able to bring them to that place, God put the prohibition there, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And I told you that it could have been anything. It could have been a bridge over a stream. It could have been anything that God said, don't do this. And they had to take God and His word and believe what God said and obey. They opted otherwise, they broke the covenant. And it's interesting in the garden because we have the entrance of the serpent, the snake. And when I look at that on the initial thought of it, it looks like God's not protecting His kids. I mean, He allowed the snake in the garden. The snake is an instrument at the place of choice. The devil, the serpent, came in and introduced the lie, the alternative word, the alternate word. That's a tragedy that happens more than we'd probably like to acknowledge, that there is an alternate, quote, truth that's not truth at all. It's counterfeit. So now Adam and Eve are faced with a situation. They have two words, the word from God and the word from the snake. So they're placed in a position of having to choose. Man has to either grow up and decide to be who God said he is and who he really is, or he has to enter into a world of delusion, deception, darkness, and lie. And that's the fall. That's the fall of man. See, it's important that we understand that man rebelled against God Himself. He rebelled against the character and the integrity of God. He rebelled against the revelation that God had given him in the garden. This is a cosmic rebellion. Don't ever play this down. It's not just man fell and man sinned. No, this is horrendous. This is an act virtually to where man has literally voted God out as the center of his universe and voted himself in. Man rebelled against God. Man finds himself now bent away from God. He's bent in rebellion against the Creator. Now the creature, Adam and Eve, have become the center of everything. It's I, it's me, because And he sees himself as the center of his universe. He is the reason for life rather than God. There's another little addendum there that I'd like to bring up, and that is Adam and Eve became aware of their nakedness. And the Bible says Adam and Eve were ashamed in the presence of each other because they were naked. That's absolutely insane. Who else was there to see them? There's only one man and one woman and their husband and wife. So why would they be ashamed? What's the problem? See, there's a difference between nudity and nakedness. Nudity is the absence of clothes. If I'm in the shower, I'm nude. But if I lose my pants on Main Street, I am naked. I mean, there's a big difference. Nakedness introduces another totally new idea. It's shame. It's pain. It's someone's looking. I'm exposed. In the shower, like I said, I'm nude. But if I go down on the street and lose my clothes, I'm naked. One says in the shower, it says I don't have any clothes on. So what? The other says everybody can see. See, it's exposure. You don't go to a man who's lost all of his clothes and say, would you like a burger and fries with that? No, you don't. Nakedness always implies that somebody's looking. And you feel like you're being judged in some way. And you are. Adam and Eve then made fig leaf coverings to hide from each other. And the fall brought an immediate barrier between human and human. Even husband and wife. Now, why make coverings? No one else is there. They're husband and wife. What's the problem? It's shame. Now, what's shame? Lack of clothing? Absolutely not. That has nothing to do with shame. It's what they had done and what they had become. They were now separated from God, and in their heart, the shame, the pain, the conviction, the awareness of their rebellion was sinking in. That's a problem. In that position, in that condition, where do you find meaning? The only place you can find meaning is in a covenant with God. In the garden, man is unconditionally loved by God. He has incredible significance. He lives in unearned love. He matters. He has value. He has worth. But in the fall, man separated himself from God. He's separated from God, and what's left? If he's separated from God, what's left? Nothing is left. He's separated himself from unconditional love. He's told God basically to take a hike. Now, he's not sure of who he is. He's naked. He's ashamed. He has no significance. That's devastating. So the big question is, where does he turn? And man turns in two directions. Within, he becomes the center. He becomes a flesh man. Life isn't spirit, isn't God. It's flesh, it's me. Or he turns toward others to find his meaning, his significance, and his existence in others. In other words, will you tell me I'm okay? I need you to approve me. I need you to want me. I need you to love me. I need you to tell me that I'm okay. And if you don't tell me I'm okay, I'm devastated. If you don't approve of me, I'm devastated. If you don't love me, I'm devastated. I have no significance. I have no meaning. We, too many people, enter into marriage trying to find love. And when we don't get what we expected, we become frustrated. And so therefore, there's a division between the two, and there's problems, and they have to go to counseling, and they may even separate and divorce. There's a hole inside of each one of us. which only God can fill. That's incredible. Man, the peak of God's creation, now as a result of breaking the covenant, can't find out who he is. He can't find meaning in life. He's pathetic. The human race is basically divided into two bodies. And this is important, and it's important if we're going to understand covenant. The body of Adam, the old man, Adam is the head, the brain of that body. Therefore, the body of Adam participates in the decisions of Adam, just as your body participates in the decisions of your mind. Adam is the brain of that body. We're joined to Adam. We're joined by generations. It can't be helped. That's just the way it is. When Adam moved into the kingdom of darkness in his rebellion, all of his offspring were born into that kingdom and carry the passport of that kingdom. If you see that, then you understand that Adam was your covenant representative. Therefore, you were born into the lie. The world system is the body of Adam. The life of that body is satanic. In Ephesians 2, it says, the spirit that now works or energizes, it's the prince of the power of the air. And he says that that is the spirit that energizes the sons of disobedience. But who are you? Who am I? See, most people are fuzzy about who they are. They're not clear on who they are. They know what they do, but not who they are and who the world is. See, there are two bodies, and greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. The you is plural. Greater is he that's in you, plural, than he that is in the world, plural. So there's either the body of Adam or there's the body of Christ, the new man. Christ is the head, the brain of that body. When we're born again, we leave the old man, the body of Adam, and we come into the new man, the body of Christ, and the power that energizes that body is the Holy Spirit. Walking on the streets of every city in America and the world are two bodies of people. And they're oceans apart, they're worlds apart, they're hemispheres apart. One has the man who separated himself from Christ and is bent toward himself and sees self as number one and lives in the fear of death. See, if all I have is my flesh, if that's all the meaning there is to life, then death is the most awful thing that I can face, because to die is to end it all. Do you realize that man is the only creature that knows he's going to die? That means he lives under the threat and under the fear of death. Hebrews 2 and 15 tells us that. Our whole society, our entire society is built on the fear of death. We build shelters that we won't freeze or be fried to death. We hunt so we won't starve to death. We build near water so we won't thirst to death. We congregate in villages and towns to keep out enemies so we won't be killed. Man lives in the fear of death. We're afraid of accidents. We're afraid of flying. We're afraid of automobiles. We're afraid of tornadoes. We're afraid of thunderstorms, hurricanes, and every kind of thing else that's a disease. We're afraid of everything that might kill us. It consumes man outside the covenant. The man outside of covenant, the man in the body of Adam, for him, life is meaningless. And if you're yet in the body of Adam, death's your greatest enemy. And fear consumes you. But if you're in the body of Christ, that enemy has already been defeated. The Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. Jesus triumphed over the devil. In the Roman Empire, if a general, Roman general, was to win a great major battle, then the Senate would vote him a triumph. What would happen is they would put him in a special chariot. They would have him parade down the streets of Rome before the Senate, before Caesar, before all of the things that are there, the governmental bodies. And behind him would be the captives and the spoils of the land. And they would vote him a triumph. And it was richly rewarding, and it was exuberating, and it was exhilarating. Well, that's what Jesus did to the devil, and when he defeated the devil, he made an open show of him. But we run around afraid of the devil, afraid of death, afraid of dying, and that's man outside covenant. We're consumed by that. Man in the body of Adam, life's meaningless. If you're in the body of Adam, like I said, death's your greatest enemy, but if you're in the body of Christ, death has already been defeated. For those in covenant with God, death, man's greatest enemy, has been defeated. There are incredible promises and provisions in the Word of God. And if we understand covenant, then we will understand that as at Christ, in Christ, with Christ, through Christ, by Christ, that as we are in Him, we're joined as one to God. We have His protection. We have His name. We have His provision. We have His power. We have His love. We don't earn it. He just gives it to us. To the disciples, the apostles, the Bible says that He gave them authority over all of the power of the enemy. They were in covenant with Him. And as you see that, they have His protection. They have His power. No wonder Psalms 91 said that no plague would come near our dwelling, that no evil would befall us, that 1,000 may fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, that God's given His angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways and to bear us up in their hands lest we dash our foot against a stone. No wonder the Bible says that we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Because we have the promises of Almighty God. We have the promises of God. We're in covenant with God. And so when we come before the throne of the Father of heaven, and we come before the Father, we're coming in the name of Jesus, because His name has been linked to our name, and our name has been linked to His name. And when the Father looks at us, He sees the blood, He sees the covenant, and He says, "What do you want, son? What do you want? What would you like to have? What can I give you? What do you need?" And we ask Him. We come boldly before the throne of grace and we ask what we will, and it'll be done. If we can understand that, if we can understand the tremendous importance of covenant and where it places us, I believe it will become one of the most liberating truths that you and I will ever experience. Let me go back and recap just a little bit of what we're saying. I want to wrap it up in a nutshell where you see it. The covenant man is a generous man, incredibly generous. And the covenant man is totally committed to God. He's one with God. He is absolutely, his life is hidden with Christ in God. The mind of Christ is in us. The spirit and nature of Christ is in us. We have the blessings of the covenant of God. We have all of heaven backing up everything that's been said and all of the promises that are there. We have the energy of the Holy Spirit to help us to stand and to stand strong. We have the armor of God that we can have our loins girt about with truth, have on the breastplate of righteousness, have our feet shod with the preparation, the readiness of the gospel of peace. We have on the helmet of salvation. We have a shield of faith that we quench the fiery darts and the flaming missiles of the wicked one. We have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and we pull down strongholds. And we have the Lord is holding us in the forefront of His mind because of covenant, and He's looking for a way to fulfill His Word and His promises to us. We are in the image of God, and we've been given an exalted position as the creation of God. And we have the problem, we have the issue, we have the choice. It's been set before us that we either choose to accept or reject the offer of God and what God has given to us. It's up to us to accept it. It's up to us to move into that. In the Adam,
We're dead. We're lost. We're undone. We're without God. We're without hope. We're without promise. But in God, we have hope now. We're no longer naked. We're no longer without and shame. We're no longer in bondage. We have meaning in life. We understand significance. And now, when we face the enemy, now when we face the enemy that comes in to try to rip and shred us of our hope and our promises in God, we're no longer in the kingdom of darkness. No, no, no. We're in the kingdom of light. And in covenant with God, as we have the blood covenant of the blood of the new covenant covering our lives, then we represent and we manifest Christ to this world. We go in the power of His name. We go in the strength of His name. We go in the authority of His name. And thanks be to God. No wonder that the Lord Jesus Christ would tell us of our authority and our power in Him. No wonder that we can have that hope. No wonder, no wonder, no wonder, no wonder. We know who we are in Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Mark 16, we have the account where Jesus appeared to the 11, and He approached them, and He reproached them for the unbelief and the hardness of their heart. See, they had walked with Him. They were one with Him. They knew Him. And He gave them this directive. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs shall accompany those who have believed. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's covenant. That is covenant. The Bible tells us in 1 John 5:14 and 15 that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we ask anything according to the will of God, He hears us. And if He hears us, then He grants the petition. We know we have the answer. Okay, if we're in covenant and all of the provisions, all of the power, all of the protection, all of the authority, all of the love, all of the energy, all of the wealth of heaven is ours because of that covenantal relationship, what are we supposed to expect to happen when we pray? What should we be expecting to happen? Well, if we understand covenant, if we understand that we're in covenant, we should anticipate and have expectancy that what we're asking from God, He is going to give. He's granted it. In fact, the Bible suggests that it is already done. It's simply a matter of Him waiting for us to appropriate it into our lives by faith. What's faith? Faith, very simply, is a matter of acceptance. It's a matter of trust. It's a matter of confidence. This is not something that you are working up, but it's something that has been deposited in your heart by the Word of Almighty God. And when we're in a covenant relationship with God, then we understand that in Him we live, we move, we have our being, in him we have authority, all authority over all the power and the authority of the devil. The devil has been defeated. Jesus has won the ultimate victory at the cross and when he rose from the dead, now ascended to the right hand of the throne of God. And whatever Jesus says, we can say. Whatever Jesus does, we can do, because we have him backing us up. We're in covenant with him. If the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard against him. If the waters try to overflow us, then the Holy Spirit gives us the shield of protection. We are taking shelter under the shadow of the Almighty, under the shadow of his wings, under the shadow of his arm. In covenant with God, when we walk in the blood covenant, we have been born again. We have no longer in the family of Adam. We're no longer in the dominion of Adam. We're no longer in the kingdom of Adam, but we are now citizens of the kingdom of heaven. We have been translated, transferred, transformed out of darkness into God's marvelous light. Now we walk in the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The covenant man, the covenant woman, the covenant child of God can expect the energy, the strength, the power, the authority of God to come. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you right now. Some of you hearing me today, you're struggling. You don't know which way to turn. You don't know what the answer is. But I'm telling you, breakthrough is for you today. Breakthrough is here today. If you're sick, God wants to heal you. In fact, when Jesus was asked, he said, Lord, if you're willing, you can heal me. He said, if I'm willing, what are you talking about? That's why I came. Of course I'm willing. And if you are facing financial crisis, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The gold is his. The silver is his. The world is his. Everything's his. If you need direction in your life, God wants you to know what he wants. What's the cry of your heart? What's the cry of your spirit? What's the cry of your soul? And here's what I want you to understand. You're not beat down. You're not defeated. You're not part of the family of darkness. You haven't abdicated, given God, removed God and told him to abdicate his throne because you're taken over. No, you're not the center of your universe. God is. And so now, in that covenant position, you can stand. And having done all to stand, keep on standing, because covenant, is where you can live in victory. Father, I pray for those that are hearing me today. If they're in need of salvation, I ask that you help them to call to the Lord Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I accept you. I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe that God gave his only begotten Son, that through you the world could be saved. I receive you. And Lord, if there's anyone sick now, I ask you by the Holy Spirit of God, by the power of God, in the name of Jesus, give them the breath of healing and let healing flow in their veins. Lord, if there's anybody now that's in difficult relationships and strained, then they're estranged from other members of family, I ask that you bring a healing bond. And I pray for our nation today, that you would heal this land and help us to return to you, knowing that when we return to you, you are going to return to us. We cry out for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I sense that there's somebody listening right now. You really didn't plan on listening to this broadcast, but you found it and you're listening. You don't know where you're going to turn. You don't know what to do next. I'm telling you that if you will just stretch out your hand right now, lift up your hand to the Lord, God will hear what you're asking. He will minister to your heart. You've run from him. Now it's time to run to him. You've run away from him. Now it's time to run to him. Run to the Lord and God will move on your behalf. If I can pray for you further, then please, please, please let me know. God is not through with you yet.
God bless you. We'll see you again next Sunday. Amen.
Well, thank you for being with us on Covenant Life Ministries broadcast. This is Roy Beard. I have two blogs that I write, roybeard.com and royscovenantcorner.wordpress.com. If you'd like to contact me at Covenant Life Ministries, clm.texas@yahoo.com, and I'll be glad to respond to you, be glad to help you in any way I can. God bless you, and we will look forward to seeing you next week.
Go with God,
and He will go with you.